Well, we just have a time of follow-up and some thoughts. So I was just mentioning, I didn't record this, but it's a real labor to have to present this kind of thing. My natural inclination is to just really think on the positive things and positive things that represent the kingdom of God and our relationship with Jesus Christ. But because of the circumstance we've gone through, I felt we need to really be reminded of those things that are in the Word of God. And as I said a moment ago, is that the only avenue or access the enemy has to us is in the flesh, the sin nature. Anything that's on the other side of the cross that is allowed to live or continue on in us, that is, if we're not actually putting off the old man and the deeds of the flesh, we're to put them off. It tells us we're to do that. And how do we do that? In the person and power of the Holy Spirit. So this is what we need to learn to do, and that we're not allowing ourselves and our thoughts to be governed by the natural man, because there is an authority that is in the Word of God, and to the degree that the Word of God begins to govern our thoughts, and so that our will comes into alignment with the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, then we begin to live more and more out of the new creation identity, more and more out of who we are in relationship with the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a huge challenge, but this is all we're going to take with us, friends, when we go into eternity. When we go into eternity, all we're going to take with us is the measure of Christ formed in us, Galatians 4:19. We're not taking anything else. It'll be no more, no less than the measure that Christ has been formed in us. The measure which has been conformed to the image of Christ. Not everyone's going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in the same measure. All believers are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29. Every believer will be conformed to that image. But what is that conformity? Is it going to be, you know, like a baby that was born and then reached 2 years of age and then died? Well, that baby was conformed to its identity to a certain point, but it didn't reach maturity. So it's still a human being. There's still the image of God there in that child, but it's not fully developed. Or you take, you know, on a spiritually, chronologically speaking, we're coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's measure there. Measure. And that measure is all we take with us. And the cross divides and separates from what we are by nature in Adam, what we are becoming more and more, who we already are in Christ. So the eschatology is, we're already perfected in Christ, and yet we're not yet perfected. In Him we're perfected. It's already there. It's complete in Him. Now we are in the process of, in time, going through the of being that perfected. We are being perfected, I should say. So the corporate one new man who will attain that perfection, Ephesians 4:13, it is a perfect complement to Christ. But all the members that make up that corporate collective complement to Christ have varying measures and degrees according to their choices in this life. Yet when all added together, it will become a unified fullness of Him who fills all in all, Ephesians 1:23. And that fullness will be the complete complement of Christ in His fullness. So only in the wisdom of God does He know everyone's choice from Pentecost to the rapture. So that, put that all together with all the variables and all the conditions of time and choices, put that all together and in the end have it so adjusted from the least to the greatest that it creates a complete whole counterpart to Christ. That's the way it is. And each one will be there in his own measure. So all I know is, when I stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, I want to know that I know that it's 100-fold. I want 100-fold. And I would say to anybody, you don't want 100-fold, there's something wrong with your heart. There's something not right. There is something not right. You want 100-fold? There is something there. You need to say, God, put your finger on that. If it's insecurity or it's whatever you want to call it, low self-esteem or whatever it is, if there is your best, I choose your best. Why? Because you've offered it. And you have a reason why you've offered full reward, 2 John chapter 2. And the very fact that you have offered full reward, and you said that we might receive full reward, then Lord God, then I look to you for that measure of grace that I have not even yet discovered, so that I can come into full reward.
Well,
you had some comments.
I was making some comments about how things have been really opening up here. And it doesn't make it easier or better, but when you clearly understand the word and the direction, then you can move more in sync with the Holy Spirit in your life. But I think that there's plenty of physical evidence. I believe the adversary has been out to have my life taken this last year more than he ever has at all. And it is a culmination of all those things that are physical, but it has come to a head several times here. I think the closer we have come to a point when all those extenuating circumstances can be removed, then the more accountable we can be before the Lord with reference to our own actions and conditions. And not only accountable, but able to move into that position of desiring 100% and seeing more clearly. The Lord is very clear in His Word. But Satan comes in with all this activity which causes clouds so that we can perceive in our soul, but not truly perceive in our spirit. And since God is spirit, they who worship Him in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
If you're trying to work out the soul, for how many years, did I travail desiring to have an intimate relationship with Him out of the soul? He could say only no to that. But He could respond to my desire by keeping me in the assembly, by keeping me in a path which would remove things and draw me closer and closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And I don't attribute anything, but what you were saying about the resistance, all I can say is there must be some value to the Lord for perseverance.
No, absolutely.
And you know what? The perseverance has been more Him holding me and carrying me than anything else.
Right.
For a million times, I thought I was over. But there's some way in which He has picked me up and carried me over these years. And it's not over with or anything. I think we're about to face some of the darkest times. But can those darkest times not be outward instead of inward? Because we have been gone through such darkness inwardly. Personally, is such darkness. Corporately, in our midst, such darkness. But now, cannot the darkness be expelled, and so we can see the darkness in the circumstances of the world around us and recognize the true condition of the church around us, but not ourselves know Him and know the light the world from within.
Yeah. He's the light that lightens every man coming into the world, John 1:4. Anyone else have any? I made you wait.
I just think that this teaching is so timely because you've been talking about removing the leaven from our midst, and on Friday night I was just so aware that how could a righteous God remove the leaven from our midst in one sense, but not the leaven in our own hearts? Like, it would be only righteous of Him to touch that which reflects what was outward inwardly. And so for you to release it, the Lord to release this message now seems only right, because ever since, there was the removal of a person in our midst, there's been, I felt for me, such a fear of the Lord coming in for the reality that the characterological issues that by choice were not dealt with in that individual are exposed in me by the grace of God so that I can have choice. And so it would be proud and self-righteous for me to not, accept that exposing as a gift from God. And so I think for us to really pay attention to what you've taught today and just to allow the Lord to search us, His Spirit to search us and know us, and then our response to that really to be that cry that just says, Lord, whatever it takes, so that, like Dan said, the shakings can be outward because the shaking inwardly has already happened.
I wasn't necessarily planning on sharing this morning, but as what's been shared already and just going and thinking about the flesh, Yesterday morning, I guess it was, before I started my day and got going, there was just a big heaviness and so forth, just for me, just didn't really understand what was going on. And so the Lord directed me to Psalm 37. And so I started reading through that and just praying through that and just asking the Lord, shine your light in and show me, where, in any way, what's the hindrance? What's going on here? And then it comes to trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way. Trust also in Him. The word trust is what kind of jumped out at me. And I realized that I have a real issue with trusting. And I see then what was happening then, that which I had trusted the Lord for was being hampered by my lack of implementing His trust for those around us and for those that are in my life and those that I am subject to. And I just said, Lord, please forgive me. Because of, the thing it is for me, because of who I am, and I want to receive that which the Lord has for me. But that also, I'm learning, can be part of my downfall. And of just being able to trust the Lord. And I went through that several times, and just for the clearing off. And it affects how I feel, it affects how I respond, affects how I respond to my wife. And it's the kind of thing, that I feel like I'm just getting started in it. So I don't really know for sure where it's going to end up or how it's going to end up. But I know that as I continue to focus and commit and continue to pray daily and then to learn to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And just to stand into that good and to allow Him to continue His work in cleansing and processing through. And so I do. I just, even publicly, I want to confess and renounce any distrust, any disbelief, unbelief that I've had for those around me and for those, and then toward God, and ask His forgiveness, and that God would be able to use me as that instrument. And for me, it's the kind of thing that to grow in the Lord and to be reaching toward, I probably still have, maybe there is something screwed up in me, but I still have an aversion to think, that I'm good enough to be able to have 100-fold or even just strive for 100-fold. My goal is simply this, that, Lord, I don't care how many folds you give me. All I want is 100% Christ. That's all that matters. That's it. I don't really care about the rest of it. That's fine. And so I want to keep pressing forward in you, in Christ. In His name be honored and glorified.
I'm becoming more of a woman where I just yammer, so you guys just tell me, okay, that's enough if need be. But I was just really contemplating over the last few years, and as of last Friday, just really praising the Lord more for you, Doug, and the Lord really showing me more these last few years where, in my flesh, I've gotten so drawn out, expectations. Why aren't you going to say, just beside myself many, many times. And the Lord had just like what Brother Ivan is saying, just bringing in a deeper, deeper work of the cross, a deeper measure of faith, a deeper measure of trust, a deeper measure of not taking the enemy side, but deeper coming into a realm out of the source of my flesh, which I think in my natural man, I want to fight. And so it's the Lord teaching me how to use that and fight behind the scenes. And, you know, because, I mean, Doug's a kind of a fighter, too. And so I just, all right, you want to fight? I'm ready to fight, too. And so so we go after it. And especially when there's been cold activity, it just, boom. And the Lord, and Lori, one day she kind of looked at both of us, you guys are pathetic. And I'm like, you're right, Lori. I don't need to be doing this. And so that really helped me. And you were kind of chastising me. And so, you know, I look back, though, at the and on Friday, the Lord has just taken all that and defining God's character, how God's character has been expressed through you, Doug, in a manner and way which has been long-suffering, long-enduring, wanting to give up, not giving up hope, wanting to go to the nth degree with everything. And so God's just given me a greater appreciation of His heart being expressed in you. And I've been glorifying Him and praising Him this last week because of that. So I wanted to bring that out, how God used all this, you know, connecting to the message of when my natural flesh, I think whenever it was in April, finally, you know, when you and I were going this way, the Lord's just like, I got expectations on you. I'm like, you're right. You're right, Lord. I give up that expectation to you, and I expect from you, not from you. Because like we've said, once that was pulled off you, when God gave you the go-ahead, you acted swift. And so then that became an issue of a deep, deep, deep having to have that trust and faith. Lord, what do you want me to do? Keep my eyes continually not looking to others to act. What do you want me to do, when to act, when to pray, how to keep silent? And I'd continue to pray, God, give me a gentle, quiet spirit, which I mean, you guys probably don't realize that, but I don't have that naturally.
Dan's over there. Well, I'm so glad for that revelation. I never
thought
about
that. But I thought, okay, Lord, I mean, really, that's been more my prayer this last month is, Lord God, give me that gentle, quiet spirit, because I just want to flip and I want to, you know, and take matters in my own hands, and things would have been done a long time ago. And so God has really had to reel me in, and that's a miracle. As you know, when we come out of the DID realm, then what do we have left? Well, I can't blame it on DID. I've got myself. And that is the whole realm of the satanic throne and who I was in that which sat on the council that executed orders and people listened and all of that which came in a respect in the cult realm. That has to be dealt with. God has to deal with it.
The flesh that was behind it all.
The propensity of our life that we had in the occult doesn't go away as the DID is dealt with.
In fact, it's more here.
It becomes more present.
Yeah.
It becomes an integrated portion.
Yeah, I don't have that Christianized front anymore that could polarize, that knows the right answers, that in the quietness, man, I could be Proverbs 31, a nice, gentle, quiet spirit. But integration is like, forget it.
And I didn't say that with reference to just you, but even my own. You know, I have been brought in the occult realm. I've been brought into a place whenever I was prepped in the very beginning to lay down my life on behalf of the friend. That, in the spirit realm, when you, quote, lay down your life, represents passivity in a very, very deep way.
And you're giving your soul, too.
Yeah, I mean, so that, just because of the move toward integration, it doesn't take that away. It's a propensity, like the grooves in the record of who we are. The dissociation makes a consolidation of who we are. And like you said, it becomes even more evident with reference to who we are in the flesh, which has been a part of the grooves of the record. And then more the need of what we heard today, to recognize the difference between sin as an act and sin as a principle, and the sin nature being the nature of Adam, which we inherited in the beginning, and which is all on the other side of the cross. And then the only thing for us is to come to the cross, and for that cross to be applied to all those grooves in the record of who we are, So we come out into that new man. The new nature. The nature of Christ. I just can't help. I cannot tell you the number of times I mentioned this, I think, Friday. The number of times I have remembered what Sparks said when he said the Holy Spirit has taken responsibility for bringing about that transformation in my life. That's like salvation for me. I can't do it. I can only seek to work out my salvation through fear and trembling and seek to cooperate and bring my will into alignment with His will. But even doing that, it's like, Lord, I am trusting the Holy Spirit to come and to do in me that which He has accepted the responsibility to do. It's now your responsibility, not mine. Not that I step back in passivity, and not that I choose to do that which I know is wrong with reference to the Word, but I choose to let the Holy Spirit do and be in me all that He wants to do and be as He brings forth the very nature and character of the Son of God who lives in me by faith.
I've been ruminating through Westcott's Green Commentary on John again. And so I read a little bit excerpt to you the other day. And I don't know, you said, wow, that's like a steak dinner or whatever I read. But I think what I'll do is just ruminate a little bit through John on Wednesday to tie this in. Because, you know, even though he's not only a Greek scholar, but all, you know, there are no original manuscripts, there are just fragments here and there. And there are about 5,000 extant manuscripts that are from different localities over the world, and they're in families, and they're pieces. It's like a big jigsaw puzzle. And so a textual critic will take these different families, compare them to over here, and put the fragments together over here, Alexandria, the Byzantine, and gather them all together, and they build a text. And when you build a text, you get these little variants, like, I don't want to go into the technical criticism stuff. But anyway, the point is, the Bible, the New Testament, is the inspired Word of God, but it's amazing how God preserved it, okay? He didn't preserve it as, well, here's a manuscript, and it's Matthew to Revelation. It's a big jigsaw puzzle with pieces in this part of the world over there, and Alexandria, Byzantinum, and, you know, different localities, different traditions that carry down, and yet we have a New Testament. And so what they do is they compare this. There's a little variation over here, no change in doctrine. All doctrine and things stays the same. No matter which one you know, manuscripts you have, it's all going to come down to Christ is who He is, salvation is what it is. All the essentials of truth are there, no matter what. But they're so meticulous that, you know, the 1%, they'll get PhDs on. Just talking about the difference. That's the way these scholars do this. So here we have someone like Brooke Foss Westcott, who not only put together his own text, if you can imagine, sorted through all the puzzle pieces and compared all the various family groups and built his own text. It's called the Westcott and Orr text. It's still used today. Then he wrote commentaries because he was trained in classical, the secular Greek, which is much more extensive than the Koine, the New Testament. And he wrote commentaries, like on John, he wrote on the epistles of John, and this on the Hebrews. It's just phenomenal. And so I'm reading through some of his notes, exegetical notes on 1 John. I mean, excuse me, on Gospel of John. And so I went through that again. I read the whole thing on the Son of Man that he had, and it was pretty interesting. So I'm reading through that, I'm saying, you know, this person, Jesus Christ, has captured the mind of not only the simple little farmer, the person who just takes the word and just believes in the Lord and just talks to the Lord and has this intimate walk. And he's all there. He's there in fullness. Then you take the most astute, critical mind of someone like a hoarder, Westcott, these other scholars, F.F. Bruce, many, Lightfoot, they're just incredible. They have this amazing devotion to the Lord. But their devotion is expressed in, I want to bring this truth out. I want to uncover every little nuance. So what I will do is pick up some of the things that he brings out in the text that you don't get in translation. And the translations are accurate, but there's a certain color, you know. Here's a rainbow, okay? You just see all the colors blended. Well, If you look a little bit closer, there's different colors within those bands. Okay, it's all light being refracted through water, and you just see, well, that's just kind of a beautiful color over there. But you get up a little closer, and there's different bands of color in that one spectrum. Well, that's what these people do when they get into the Word. And the Father loved Jesus and shows him all things that he is doing. Well, that's phileo love. That's not like agapao. So he goes into the difference between agapao and phileo and how the Father has a specific, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not a self-sacrificial love. It's a relational love. It's a demonstrated affection love. The Father loves the Son, therefore shows him all things that he, the Father, is doing. And I, the Son, I don't imitate. As he's working, I am working. Isn't that amazing? That's the embodiment of the Christian life. He just is a man, and whatever he does, it's the Father doing it. And there's no gap. I only do those things I see my Father doing. Is that imitation or is that derivation? It's derivation. And one is law and the other is grace. That's real subtle. I only do those things that I see my Father doing. How do you hear that? Oh, he sees the Father doing something and then he imitates the Father. No. The Father does it. He is doing it in sync as the Father is doing it. I am doing likewise. For I and the Father are one. So we'll look at some of those things. His section on the grain of wheat falling into the ground. That's going to be really something to see that. So I'll just conclude with this. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of all that Jesus Christ is the last Adam, perfected as man in a representative way for the whole human race. So in he walked out in obedience to the Father every day personally. Was he aware that every act of obedience was going to be the template and format for all that God's required of us in our obedience? I don't think he knew that at the time. He's just walking in faith and obedience with the Father. But when he arrives at the right hand of the Father, glorified as the second man, embodied in him is our walk. Every Christian that will walk out the Christian life, he walked it out to perfection. Think of it. He walked it out to perfection. So at the Bema Seat, when those people receive full reward, they receive full reward because they got in sync with the finished work of Jesus Christ on their behalf so that his walk became their walk in time. So the Holy Spirit is the custodian of not only that which represents the faith of the Son of God walking out his faith in relation to the Father as Son of Man, but in that walk, it's a collective and corporate obedience that sums up the totality of God's plan for each and every one of us. I mean, think of him. It's all in him. It's in him. I get up tomorrow. You know, what's the will of God for me? I don't know, but Jesus Christ already walked tomorrow for me. And the next day, he already walked it out. 1 John 2:6, we're to walk as he walked. So we got to look at that. So, look at that a little bit more. Anyone have anything else? Comments? Yes. There's a girl up here looking forward to her birthday. Look at that smile.
I just have one little thing to say after what you just said, Doug, getting up in the morning. And I listened to a couple of Major Thomas messages from the Sermon Index. And again, just hearing so loud and clear how he presents Jesus Christ. You know, he says, all of God is available to the man who is available to all of God. So the issue, all of God is available to us. The issue is, are we available to him? And that's every day we present our humanity to him. To say, live, not just live your life through me, Lord, but like Andrew Murray says, live my life for me. So I'm available to you. That's where his lordship comes in. And that's where sanctification comes in. Because we think today I'm all available. Then we realize 6 months from now, whoa, I wasn't all available. You know, but all of God is available to me today. All of God was available and to me when I was born again, the first day I was born again. But that's what the sanctification issue is. It's making more room for Him. But just to be so reminded of that wonderful, wonderful reality and truth that Major Thomas brings forth.
It's foundational.
Yeah. So don't do your housework in a vacuum. Take Major Thomas around with you. You know, whatever. Just sit with, you know, listen. You don't have to just sit and listen. That's impossible for most of us. But to again, be renewed in those moments that you know, that are just kind of vacuous.
Our city is built on the foundation of so many of these principles. We grew up, basically, as I said, but we grew up on Major Thomas and on the green letters with Miles Stanford. And, you know, I mean, I even think with great gratitude, Major Thomas and those, Major Thomas, I just said Major Thomas, but I mean Colonel Thieme and that in Baraka, it was foundational teaching. Sure. And then you know, you don't stay there. You move on to the personal aspects of what Major Thomas taught us. And then just progressively, up the mountain. I think this morning's Open Windows, when Sparks was talking about the fact that God gives us, He doesn't give us a perception of the whole mountain, otherwise we become discouraged. But we have this little area, and it seems monumental to us, but as we get to that point, then we realize there's another one. And you get to that, and there's another one. And in a sense, it's been like that for us. Because we are in a certain place right now, but it isn't where we were 20 years ago or even 30 years ago. Yet we stand on the foundation of all that which the Lord has put into place in our lives as we continually move on.
All right. Anyone else?
Well, Father, thank you for this opportunity just to consider, reflect on your work in our lives. So we entrust ourselves to you. And wait expectantly for you and you alone, Lord, to bring all things to consummation in our lives individually and corporately. We pray the same thing for the body and bride of Christ in our generation. Pray in Jesus' name.